just tuning in, you're listening to the services of First Baptist Church here in Petoskey, Michigan. And you're listening to WMKT 1270 AM and 102.3 FM. Heavenly Father, now we pray as we look into your word that you will help us to understand and know, to appreciate your friendship with us and all the things you've done for us out of love for our sake alone. We pray, Heavenly Father, comfort those who are carrying great burdens. Comfort those who are carrying small burdens and don't know how to deal with them. Exhort us that we might draw closer to you and be closer to your ideal of what we can be and all that we should be. Heavenly Father, we do pray for our veterans today. It's certainly a great time to get away and go have fun and maybe try some forbidden things that they can't do at home. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray that all of those vets will come to know you when their life is on the line and they are forced to think things through. We pray for the chaplains that are with our vets. May they share the Bible. May they love their charges. We pray, Heavenly Father, now that you'll help us to understand the word that you have for us this day. Amen. Well, remember that we are looking into the book of Acts, and that Luke has written the book of Acts, and with a certain thing in mind. Acts chapter 1, verse 1, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach. As we said last week and before, you don't usually start out after a man's death. This is what he began to do and teach. The book of Acts is the Acts of Jesus. It is the Acts of the men and women of the New Testament in partnership with Jesus. And so I want us to see that, and we're going to explore that. I do have a page of scriptures for you to look at. I think it helps a little bit so you can keep track of where we're going and where we've been and what we're looking at. And you can look these up later if you have a mind to, and if you have a lesson to teach sometime, then you'll have that all figured out. And so look with me at chapter 4 and verse 10. Chapter 4 and verse 10, Peter is speaking, and he has healed a lame man. Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, what's it say? By him this man stands here before you whole. Now remember, we've told you before that Jesus, when he was in this human life, did not heal people himself. He prayed and the Father healed them, or the Spirit healed them. But now Jesus is ascended into heaven, and he has taken all of his godly abilities again. And so Peter is pointing out to them that Peter, of course, did not heal this person. Who healed him? Oh, Jesus healed him. This is Jesus' act, not Peter's. Chapter 2 and verse 33. I thought I had rearranged that sequentially. 2 and verse 33. Peter is talking about Jesus again. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, Jesus poured out that which you now see and hear. And so Jesus personally sent the Spirit to mankind. Jesus personally healed this lame man at the temple. Let's go to chapter 9 and verse 1. Then Saul, still breathing threats of murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and he asked for authority. Verse 3, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, well, who in the world are you, Lord? I didn't know that I was persecuting anyone like you. I thought I was just chasing them doggone Christians. And then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads of your conscience, isn't it? And so here again we see that Jesus is risen from the dead. He has ascended to the right hand of the Father. He is exercising all of his godly ability and power. And notice what it calls him here. Who are you, Lord? And then the Lord said. So that quite often in the epistles and in Acts, when it says the Lord, it means Jesus. He is the Lord. He is fully God as much as the Father. It can be, Ephesians mentions the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that the Father is the Father of Jesus, but he was also the God of Jesus, while Jesus was a human. And so it can be hard to distinguish. It helps me if I, instead of saying God and Jesus, because Jesus is God, it helps me if I say the Father and the Son, or the Father and Jesus. And so here we are, the book of Acts is about Jesus walking personally with his people wherever they go, whatever they're doing. But he walked with Israel too. He's been doing this for the whole Bible. He's been with the people of God in every dispensation. When Cain moved away, there in Genesis chapter 6, when he moved away, where did he move from? The presence of the Lord. How did he know that the Lord did not appreciate his offering? Because Jesus, before he became Jesus, the Son of God, said to him, Cain, I hate your offering. He was with them. He was with Israel all the way through. In Genesis 18, Jesus, the Son of God, said, I will return and give you a child by Sarah next year, as I promised earlier. Jesus is God, but Jesus is with his people. In Genesis chapter 32, it was Jesus who wrestled with Jacob and changed Jacob's name to Israel. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. I know that it kind of makes it hard to have more of a Bible study today than a sermon. Okay? Exodus chapter 3, I want you to see this. Verse 1, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. Who is this? Well, this is Jesus. Verse 6. Moreover, the angel of the Lord in the burning bush said, I am the God of your father. So here is the angel of the Lord, Jesus, before he became Jesus, the Son of God, appearing to Moses. And I'd like to get lost in why he's appearing in a burning bush, but I can't do that. I can't follow the rabbit trails, eh? In Exodus 14, let's go there. Exodus 14. Verse 19. Then the angel of God, who went before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind. behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. And so the pillar came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And so, what's the pillar? It is heavenly water by day and fire by night. It is the Holy Spirit. And who is the angel of the Lord? It is Jesus. Before he became Jesus, it is the Son of God who is walking with Israel and protecting Israel from harm. Leviticus chapter 14. Now, this is an interesting one that is worth seeing for a minute because it is kind of unusual. When a leper came to be healed and pronounced clean at the temple, he had been healed, wanted to be pronounced clean, then this was the ceremony that he had to bring. Verse 4, then the priest shall command to take for him who is to be cleansed two living and clean birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle the blood on the guy that had the leprosy, and let the living bird loose in the open field. Well, what's all that about? You have the wood signifying the cross, and the scarlet signifying sin. But you have running water that signifies the Holy Spirit. Here in this ancient ceremony for cleansing lepers in Israel, you have the Holy Spirit's ministry in our salvation and the Lord's ministry in our salvation, as he's going to die on the cross and shed his blood and then be raised from the dead to fly away to the open field. And so here we have predicted the ministry of the Son and the Spirit in our salvation. Well, let's see here. Numbers 22, the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing ready to kill Balaam for wanting to disobey the Lord. And Judges chapter 2, the Son of God, the angel of the Lord comes and sits down and says, I told you not to do that. I told you you needed to obey me. So now we're going to have problems. Let's go to Judges chapter 13. We don't generally think of the Holy Spirit and Jesus in the book of Judges, but here they are. Judges chapter 13 and verse 13. So the angel of the Lord, Jesus, said unto Noah, of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. Her child is going to be a Nazarite from the womb and in the womb. And so, verse 15, then the Noah said to the angel of the Lord, if he does contain you, we'll prepare a young goat for you. And they have a discussion. But then look at 13:25. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon Samson at Mahane Dan between Zorah and Eshtael. And then in chapter 14:6, now the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon Samson, and he defended his parents from the lion. And so here we see, all the way through the Old Testament, the Spirit of God and the Son of God walking with the people of God to lead them, to teach them, to protect them, to guide them. It's not just believers trying to do the best they can. This is the Father ruling in heaven and the Son of God doing the Father's will and the Spirit of God doing the Father's will. The Son does the physical acts and the Spirit does the spiritual acts. Well, and so Jesus was with the church in Acts, was the Holy Spirit. Let's go now back to Acts. Let's start in chapter 2 and verse 3. We'll talk about this more later, of course. I'll start at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as the fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in foreign languages as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. And so here is the Spirit of God who is moving upon them. Now, what's the fiery tongues about? We'll say that later. We'll talk more about that later. But just briefly, they are now each the temple. Remember in the Ark of the Covenant, the pillar of fire stood above it, and the tabernacle in Israel? Well, now they are each a tabernacle. They are each the Ark of the Covenant. They each have the presence of God in their midst. So the Holy Spirit, again, Acts is not just the Acts of the Apostles, it's the Acts of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Chapter 4 and verse 8, we'll just see a few of these here. Chapter 4 and verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, and then he begins to talk. Remember that Jesus had said to the apostles, when you stand in front of courts and trials, you don't worry about what you're going to say. I will tell you what to say at the time. And here is the Holy Spirit fulfilling that promise of Jesus. The Holy Spirit guiding Peter as he speaks. That happens, of course, in every sermon and every trial in the book of Acts. Let's go down to chapter 8 here in the book of Acts, chapter 8. And verse 27, the angel of the Lord, well, look at verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south. And so he arose and went, and he sees an Ethiopian eunuch who's returning from Jerusalem. Verse 29, then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. And so the Holy Spirit led Philip in this encounter. Chapter 8 and verse 39, and when they had come up out of the water after the baptism, the Spirit of the Lord raptured, that's the Greek word, raptured Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way home rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus. And so the Holy Spirit led Philip in evangelism and then raptured him away when it was time to be done with that interview. So, you say, and I hate it when you read this. What I'm doing, I have a purpose. Remember when America did the intervention in Iraq and they bombed them? They were doing shock and awe. I want to shock and awe you with the idea that the Son of God and the Spirit of God have always been with their people. They have never left us alone. All the way through the Bible, you know, we tend to think that Jesus' ministry to his people started at the baptism. That's not true at all. All the way through the Bible, the Son of God and the Spirit of God partner in leading the people of God. And that is certainly true in the book of Acts. They protect them, they lead them, they free them, and they teach them. Remember last week, we talked about the Smangus tribe that accepted Christ as Savior and Jehovah as Lord. I remember that after thousands of years of hand-to-mouth existence, you know, digging in the dirt and trying to grow a few crops and trying to shoot a wild pig once in a while. But one of them had the idea, hey, why don't we invite tourists up here? That was not a random idea. That was the Holy Spirit prompting that member. That was God moving in that man's life. He didn't feel that way. He didn't think that way. But that was God moving in him to ask that question. Because God wanted to create a situation with the Smangus tribe where 250 tourists a day come up the mountain, either on foot or in a bus, they did both, to pay for the gospel to be shared with them. Now think about that. They support the tribe, and the tribe gives them the story of Jesus' love for them every time they come up. And when the tourists watch the ceremonies from thousands of years ago, they watch them in the church with a giant cross in the background. God moving as he wants. God doing as he likes. If you read the story of Doc Tarr, there's a new baby Christian doctor who has an idea and goes to Bangladesh and meets with the leadership there. And so they say, give us a list of, and you do all the work and all the research, and you give us the list of all the best spots to build. And so they make the list of the very best spots. And then they say, well, you know, we won't give them the list in our order because they probably won't give us the best order, you know. We'll put the second best in number one and the best in number two. And so what they did, what the government did, was take the best spot, which is really number two, for their new capital, and gave the very best building spot in Bangladesh to the missionary doctor, you know, and the new hospital was going to be built there. God having led in that way and many others, of course. Remember that there was a young man who told another, hey, let's go make money. Let's forget this shirt stuff. Let's go make a ton of money. And so the other feller said, well, I guess that sounds like fun. Let's go make money. And so he was making money hand over fist. And he was in a hotel room one night, and he heard the guy next door to him moaning and dying and crying and dying. And the next day he goes down to the front office and says, what in the world happened to that man in the room next to me? So he died. And so he said, well, who was he? Oh, it was his friend who had called him away from church and into the world of finance. Now, you tell me that that's a coincidence. It's not a coincidence, because that young man had all night long to think about what he was doing with his life. And his name is William Carey, one of the first pioneers of mission work, living by faith instead of for and about money. You know that Amy Carmichael had a wonderful ministry in India. You know that India is not where she wanted to go. She wanted to go somewhere else. But the Spirit led her to India where she could have the fantastic ministry that she had, where she was obviously fitted for. The Holy Spirit guides our decisions. The Holy Spirit led the unregenerate, unsaved, evil Saul to go to Damascus to arrest Christians to get them killed, so that Jesus might arrest him, get him saved. Peter said, hey, I'll go visit some folk. And so he goes and visits some folk, and then some other people say, well, hey, there's a lady that died. Can you come over? So he goes and heals the lady that died. And so there's someone else that says, hey, can you do this? And he ends up in Caesarea and changes the nature of the Church of Christ forever, bringing Gentiles, not half Jews, half Gentiles, but full Gentiles like you and me, into the church and declaring they are full members of the Church of Jesus Christ. That was not Peter. And they said to Peter afterwards, they said, what in the world are you doing? We heard that you ate with Gentiles. He said, you know what, boys, is worse than that. I made them full members of our church. Well, why did you do that? Because God led. The Holy Spirit gave them the gift of languages. And God is behind this. Oh, well, it's okay then. You see, God leading His church. God has led us to build. God has led us to broadcast. God has led us to have Bible studies and fellowships. Every decision that we make, one way or another, is of God. Even if it's wrong. Because if it's wrong, something bad will happen. We'll have to think through why we did that bad thing and then get started right on the right path. I know, because I've done it a few times. Luke chapter 2, verse 1 starts out with Caesar Augustus and out of the decree that all the world should be taxed. Augustus was one of the two great rulers of the Roman Empire, and was acclaimed as God while he lived. And what's he doing? He's preparing for Jesus to be born in Bethlehem, David's ancestral home, so that Joseph would have to take Jesus home to Bethlehem, that Mary would have Jesus there in Bethlehem. Here is God, the Holy Spirit, moving in an unregenerate, evil man's heart to rearrange the world for his son to be born in the right place. Amen. The Holy Spirit moves in unregenerate men. The Holy Spirit moves in societies. I was reading this week that Thailand is on the way to becoming the most church nation on earth. The Holy Spirit cleanses the Father's churches. Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira. Nobody wanted Ananias to die or to leave. They all liked Ananias. But God said, it's time to purify my church, and it's okay. The Holy Spirit teaches the Father's churches. In Acts chapter 15, do we need to be circumcised? In Acts chapter 13, shall we do intentional missions? In Acts chapter 6, oh, let's create the office of deacon. The Holy Spirit has led us then and now. Jesus protects his churches, leading contrary members or pastors away at the right time. Jesus leads his churches by leading them into new ministries, leading people to those ministries. Some pastors make their sermons 3 weeks in advance. That would drive me insane. I couldn't do it. Because I'd be preaching the third week right now. Because it all is connected. All week long, I work on this week's sermon. And, Sunday morning, I'm asking, what else needs to be in that message? What is the one thing that I'm missing today? If you're listening today, it's because Christ has led you to this broadcast. If you are a member of this church, it's because Christ has led you here. He leads us in our decisions. When I graduated from college, I wanted to be a pastor, and so Nobody was interested in me for whatever reason. One church, I had attended one church, and they said, "Oh, we just called a guy last week. You think we could call him back and tell him no? We'd rather have you." And I said, no. If you call him, you stick with him. So it wasn't that I was a complete moron. It's just that the Holy Spirit was not leading me to a church yet. Well, I went into the missions with Continental Baptist Missions. We went up to the UP and had a glorious time. And in 5 years, I had five different churches inquired, "Would you like to come be our pastor?" Some of them were large. And I kept saying no until one asked me the second time, and I was a little bit discouraged with things at that moment, and so I went. I've been here for 22 years, and I have never yet had one church ask, "Are you interested in coming as our pastor?" In Wakefield, I had one a year. Here, I've never had one. Which is okay, because the Holy Spirit led me here, and the Holy Spirit led the visitors who have attended here not to ask me, because he wanted me here. Jesus and the Holy Spirit are always with us, leading us and directing us, loving us. Why? Acts chapter 1, verse 7. We read it last week. Let's see it again. For those that weren't with us last week. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. When they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know when this or that is going to happen. The Father has that in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." And what happened in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit came upon them? They spoke the wonderful works of God in foreign languages, and the family was created. The church of God exploded from 120 to 3,120. And then again in Acts chapter 5. Because what God is really doing is bringing us into his family. The Father, the Spirit, and the Son existed together from eternity in complete unity, because they are all three, only filled with love and truth. That's why they agree on everything. And this goes along with them being one. I don't know what that means, and you don't know what that means. But they agree with everything. They are agreed on everything. They love each other. But they have, guess what, invited us into their family now. That family of love and truth. That's why if someone is following the Bible seriously, and someone else is following the Bible seriously, they will sooner or later come to the same doctrine. Because they're listening to God, and they want to know what God wants them to know. And they have been part of that. When Spirit-filled people know that Jesus is walking with them, what happens? Well, we saw it in the scripture reading, didn't we? Nebuchadnezzar says to the three boys, "I'm going to do what I'm asking. If you don't do what I'm asking, if you don't bow down to my God, you're all going to be tossed in this furnace." And the three boys said, "So what? Your mama wears combat boots. We don't care. You go ahead and kill us. If God wants us to die, then we'll die. We'll go to heaven. If he wants wants us to live, then we'll be just fine. It's not up to you, it's up to God. And when they were thrown into the fiery furnace, of course, the guys who tossed them in died. What happened to the three boys? Nothing. Their clothing was not touched. Why is that important? Because you cannot lose the garments of righteousness when you go through the fire. And what did Nebuchadnezzar see? He saw the fourth man, Jesus, walking with them in the fire. This is why when you have Paul being interviewed by Festus, and Festus says to him, I think you're trying to make me a Christian. Are you crazy? And Paul says to him, Mr. Festus, yes, I want you to be a Christian because right now you have no peace, you have nothing real to believe in, you have no Bible, you have nothing. You are rich and powerful and miserable and sad and destined for judgment. Yes, I want you to be just like me. Except for the chains. No fun wearing chains. Paul endured chains for years. We think of him in prison, it wasn't so bad. He was wearing chains. There are some of us who endure for years things that are not fun, things that are hard, things that make us lonely. There is a Chinese pastor in Hong Kong who has decided to stand up to the Chinese Communist government and be one of the three ringleaders who are saying, you cannot take democracy from us. Of course, he's looking at prison, has been sentenced to prison. At this point, it probably will be deferred unless he does it again. Some years ago, I read about the Canadian pastor who wrote the government saying, yes, you passed a law saying that I cannot preach against sin. You need to come to my church on Sunday, on this date, at this time, and listen to me preach against sin. And you better come with police and come with a warrant for my arrest. Because I'm going to be breaking the law and I expect to go to jail for this. And we'll see if that law stands. People who know that Jesus is walking with them can endure anything. They can go anywhere. They can say anything because they know. They know that God is walking with them. When you read Acts chapter 1, read it with understanding that if you're His child, then the Holy Spirit is walking with you right now. That Jesus is walking with you right now, that Jesus has promised you what He promised them, that He will give you power to get through what He calls you to go through, because you are in His family. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time in Your Word and what it means to us. The glories of confidence of knowing that You walk with us, that You guide the world and the affairs of the world, that You are not limited by our imaginations, You are not limited by our dreams, that You can dream far beyond anything that we can imagine, that You can do far greater things than anything that we can imagine. Heavenly Father, help us to live confidently in the knowledge that You are our God, our Savior, and our friend.